I would have all the professors in colleges, all the teachers in schools of every kind, including those in Sunday schools, agree that they would teach only what they know, that they would not palm off guesses as demonstrated truths. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable! Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found secular yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years...
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful week.
As usual.
Yeah, I know. I had a pretty decent week.
Did you?
Yeah, not horrible.
Where was I? Okay.
We were busy doing stuff, so as
yeah,
usual.
Yeah, well, my memory's slowly going, so what can I say?
Yeah.
Whether it was good or bad, I don't remember. All right. Couldn't have been that eventful.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, Twitters, please.
All right, I can do Twitters. All right, I'll do the list.
That's usually how it goes.
All right, we've got Liz Morris, Bouncing Brick Designs, Matthew Van Dyke. So, yeah, they both followed me within like 10 minutes of each other,
Oh. Which
is really weird. One is from the Sons of Liberty, which is a Christian organization that trains Christians to fight ISIS in Iraq.
Okay,
and the other is one of the co-hosts of Atheism 101.
Okie dokie.
And he thought it was weird, too.
Serendipitous.
Yes, very strange. Then we've got Moat Mountain, Pixel, Richard Perry, DMK, and Marissa Alexa McCool.
Cool.
Yeah, and I have a book by her, The PC Lie. Pretty good.
Ah, sweet.
Yeah. She also runs the Inciting Incident podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, good podcast. You should go check it out.
Okie dokie. Sounds good. No iTunes-y things?
No iTunes this week.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All's good.
No love.
It's all good.
Fine.
Yeah, quit your pouting.
All right. So I guess some stories for us.
That's usually how we do this.
Okay. Bible class in schools.
Depends on the school.
Okay. A kindergartner is battling the county officials in federal court over Bible classes in public school.
A kindergartner?
Yes. In Mercer County, West Virginia.
And in public school.
Public school.
Interesting.
A federal lawsuit filed in January by Jane Doe, who is the mother of Mercer County kindergartner Jamie Doe, challenged the county's Bibles in the school program, saying it was unconstitutional.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. So this lawsuit, which is being handled by the FFRF, alleges that this program advances and endorses one religion, improperly entangles public schools in religious affairs, and violates the personal consciousness of non-religious and non-Christian parents and students.
That's clear.
Yeah, it's very clear.
Yes.
So, yeah, the class is held for 30 minutes weekly in elementary schools and 45 minutes in the middle schools, includes scripted interpretations of the Bible that advances creationism and inculcate the Bible account of Jesus' death and resurrection.
Now, wait, to interrupt you, this is during the class day, not after?
This is during class.
That's absurd.
Right.
And come on, in this day and age, you can't tell me they don't know they can't do that.
Yeah. The suit says it serves no legitimate secular purpose, which breaks one of the three Lemon Laws.
Lemon Laws?
Yeah, the Lemon versus Kurtzman had set up the three laws of church-state entanglement. Oh. One of them is in order to not be considered church-state violation, it must have a secular purpose.
Oh, uh-huh. I don't see any secular purpose in that whatsoever.
Yeah. One lesson described in the suit asked students to, quote, imagine that human beings and dinosaurs existed at the same time.
Oh, wow. If they could, I bet they'd take a field trip over to Noah's Ark.
Well, they're not that far.
Well,
West Virginia, Kentucky?
Good point. So, yeah, I'm surprised they haven't done it yet.
So, the school district pointed out that the classes, which are paid for by nonprofit organization, receive no public funding. So, they're trying to get out.
They're a public damn school. Don't give me that shit.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
And they also say the point of the course is to teach history and literature.
my ass.
Yeah, never.
History and literature, seriously?
Okay, there's no real history or decent literature in the Bible.
No, and nor does it have anything in the Bible that backs up anything that factually happened historically. I mean, I don't know. That just, it seems like such a stretch to me.
It is a stretch. Well, and it's from First Liberty Institute, which I've always said, those names are misleading.
Oh, they do that on purpose. I know they do that.
Yeah. And they say it's to make sure that students obviously have a social currency to interpret Western literature. You don't need the Bible to do that.
Okay, if they're going to teach, if they're saying that, then there's like many other cultures they should be teaching. Buddhism.
Yeah.
Hold on. I lost my train of thought like right in the middle of that.
Islam?
Yeah.
Taoism?
Yeah. That's kind of where I was going. I mean, there's so many other things. I mean, besides just their Christianity.
They're saying Western literature, so that takes out Buddhism, Islam.
Yeah, Taoism, I know. Shintoism. I thought about it when I was saying it.
Only is Christian.
That's not the point.
When they say Western literature, they mean Christian literature.
Yeah, I know.
Because they don't care about any other culture. I thought
about it
when
I was saying it. I was just thinking they can't just, you know, use one as trying to enlighten their students. Enlightening means opening to everything to learn about all things.
Yeah.
Not just one thing. That's not opening up to anything.
No, it's not.
No. But I like that they try to sidestep so many things. Oh, we're just doing this, or oh, we're just doing that. It's not what you think it is.
Yeah, it's not.
That's pretty much what they're saying.
It is. They're trying to pass it off as a literature class when it's not a literature class. It's obviously a Bible class.
Yeah, and they're elementary students, and so they assume elementary students, it's easier to get away with
it
because little kids aren't going to talk.
Right.
And they don't know any better if they are being taught something that they shouldn't be being taught.
Yeah.
You know, they might have just happened to mention it and that's how it's found out. But, you know, they're young, they're sponges. That's what they go for.
So this lawsuit comes as West Virginia legislature considers House Bill 2073, a proposed measure introduced in February that would require all schools in the state to offer Bible courses an elective. Yes.
I don't think so. Then why don't they teach the Quran?
Well, that's one of the things they would have to do. If they taught a Bible course, they would have to.
They would go apeshit if they have to do that.
Right. So that's how they can keep from having the entanglement is by teaching other courses at the same time. You can have a comparative religion class. That's fine. As long as you're teaching all the religions.
Right.
Or the majority, not all.
We all know that that's not where they're going.
No, they want to offer the same Bible course, which teaches that humans and dinosaurs exist at the same time.
Yes, the dinosaurs had saddles.
Oh, by the way, the dinosaurs not even mentioned in the Bible, so I don't know where they get
that. Yeah, I don't understand that. I never got that. What is up with the dinosaurs?
Unicorns are.
I went to Sunday school. I remember we discussed unicorns.
Yeah, sea creatures.
And why they never made it on Noah's Ark.
Yeah, I know.
I know all about that. I'm totally schooled in that.
Yes.
But yeah, I never got the whole dinosaur thing that's been going on. Not once did they ever mention dinosaurs, ever.
No.
So I don't get that.
Sorry
to interrupt you, but I do know why they did the dinosaur thing. Because people who come at them with scientific information and facts and whatnot, they wanted to make it sound like they knew what they're talking about and make them sound scientific. And this is how, you know, that we did interact with them and the whole thing. I mean, back in the day, God was sitting in clouds.
Flintstones is not a documentary.
That too. But yeah, think about it. You know, many, many moons ago, God was in the clouds, but then we started flying and didn't find him there. So now God keeps moving to space, went there, not there. He keeps going. So, you know, it's that whole got to make it sound like we know what the hell we're talking about kind of thing.
Yeah. And they really don't.
No, not in the least.
So hopefully this lawsuit goes somewhere.
Sorry.
You're killing me.
Hey, your daughter is sick and she's contagious as hell.
Oh, fine, whatever.
And it's spreading to me and I can't breathe. And anyways, I'm just complaining.
That's fine. That's what we do here. We complain.
Yes, because I'm really good at that.
Brew pubs have always been a place to sit back, have a few drinks with friends, and talk about everything under the sun. Skeptics Brew Pub is just such a place. Each week, Brother Brewer invites people to come in and talk about politics, religion, skeptical inquiry, beer, geekdom, and whatever else happens to come up that night. You can join the conversation by chat each Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Central Time on Spreaker, or catch the show later on iTunes, Spreaker, Google Play, or any other podcatchers out there. That's Skeptics Brew Pub, where nothing is sacred and no conversation starts without a two-drink minimum.
Anyways.
Yes.
I have something else.
Okie dokie.
No more daycare exemptions. This is one of your little pet peeves.
Yeah, I have a big pet peeve with daycare issues.
Yep. One bill currently causing waves in Montgomery is HB 277, the Child Care Safety Act. Right now, state law does not require religiously affiliated daycares to be licensed or to undergo inspections.
Yeah, total bullshit, by the way.
HB 277, introduced in the Alabama House of Representatives last month, aims to end those exemptions.
Yes, finally. Wait, that's just Alabama, though.
Yeah, that's just Alabama.
There's so many more places that do it.
Seven other states.
Oh, is that where?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, back in my day when I was teaching,
it was a lot more.
It was a whole lot more.
Well, it would also require that all child care providers in the state be subject to the same regulations as the Alabama Department of Human Resources has for private
regular
daycares.
Yes.
However, conservative Christian groups have voiced opposition to the bill.
Surprise. My gosh, you could put money on that.
Saying it encroaches on religious freedom.
Oh, my ass.
Freedom to not follow health code laws?
Fire hazards?
Yeah.
I mean, or they never had to follow health code. They never had to follow fire code. Nothing.
So if those are against your religious belief, I don't like your religious belief at all.
Well, then I can start stating a lot of shit's pissing me off and against my religious, you know, belief or whatever. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the safety of kids. I'm sorry. Right. They should not get an exempt for that.
Right. Because they don't have to have the same teacher licensing requirements.
No, I know that. They don't even have to come close to what we, you know, the normal teachers have to go through.
Right. And that's how children get left in a van all day.
Yeah. Or they have other things, you know, they're sitting in a high chair for hours and hours in nasty diapers or, you know, some stuff like because no one's going to come in and check on it.
Right, because there's no spot inspections.
I think even if I was religious, you know, I would never put my child in a religious daycare.
No, they're ever. Horrible.
There's no freaking way.
No.
And I don't understand how, in the first place, they were even able to have that exemption. That's like, okay, you're religious, you get the exemption, you go ahead and murder people because, you know, your religion says you can. Because that's what they're doing.
It's basically what the current exemption says.
That makes no sense that was even an option in the first place.
Child advocacy groups strongly support the bill, saying some exempt child care centers have violated standards of care and there have been abuses of protections the exemption was originally intended to provide.
Yeah, that's easy, of course.
Yeah, all you gotta do is claim religious exemptions and they can do pretty much whatever they want.
Yeah, I've worked in all kinds of daycare, good, bad, the ugly, you name it. And I've seen a lot of crap go down and they weren't religious. And so I know damn well that and they did a lot of stuff that shouldn't have happened. And yet I could imagine what the religious ones get away with doing.
With zero oversight?
I tried to work for a religious one, but you know, they wouldn't hire me because I didn't find God. She literally asked me, when did I find God or some shit like
legal.
That. No, I should have fought it, but didn't think about it at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they have no one watching over their shoulder. I mean, the other places that do have, you know, when state comes in, does an inspection or say a surprise inspection, those are the fun ones. You know, some places that aren't so nice are like scrambling and trying to get you to lie or you know, fake what normally goes on and, you know, stuff like that. I can imagine a place who has free range what they get to do.
Yeah.
I mean, truly.
So one of the arguments against this bill.
Say it again.
One of the arguments against this bill is that the district attorney has the power to investigate once a complaint has been made.
Uh-huh.
So what's the point of waiting for a complaint if we have state inspectors that are supposed to go out and check these things?
Well, if you're religious, you don't have to have a state inspector.
Right, you have to wait for someone to make a claim.
Right.
Which is
ridiculous.
And then
they can come. It's like if you complain, then CPS can come in and do something about it.
Right.
After the fact.
Right.
And with the religious places, you know, a lot of times you don't get any reporting going on.
No, because they're afraid to report their childcare.
Well, yeah, or some parents don't know what's going on.
Yeah, some parents don't know.
Because, okay, it's time for pickup. Okay, let's do this instead of what we were doing in the middle of the day before, you know, that kind of thing. You know, let's pick up the kid and change him and make him look nice and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's just things like that that I just, it still blows my mind that it was even an option to be exempt in the first place. Yeah,
they should have never been exempt. These are kids we're talking about.
The safety of kids.
Well, and we're talking about kids.
Who, and little kids.
Who can't talk.
Right. You're talking younger than five.
Right.
Infant to five.
Right.
And, you know, they're the most vulnerable.
Right.
And
isn't that part of what the government should be doing is protecting those kids?
They're supposed to
who
be.
Who can't speak for themselves?
Right. And, you know, they go on all the time about pro-life and everything. But once those kids are born, it's like they could give two craps.
I know.
I don't understand that. I really, really don't. I mean, if you're going to be pro-life, it means their whole damn life, not right. just why they're in the womb and, you know, sitting in an incubator.
Yeah.
I mean, when you can't really do too much damage to them just yet, but once they're born, when so many things can happen, whether physically, emotionally, you name it, and they could give two shits.
I know. I agree.
I mean, really.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster In God We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
All right, so we have a yakking session this week.
Yes, we do. Am I in this one?
You
are
not.
I don't remember. I didn't think so.
This is Jonathan Areola from the Too Deep, Too Fast podcast.
Uh-huh. You almost couldn't say that.
I can almost never say it. I had a lot of fun on this yakking session.
Yeah.
It runs about 20-ish minutes, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll talk to you after the yakking session.
Sounds good.
And welcome to the another yakking session. This week we have Jonathan Areola from Too Deep, Too Fast podcast. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Hi again for the third time. The charm. we'll get this nailed.
I hope
it'll
so.
Work.
Yeah, we're going to get it right this time.
I think so.
Yeah.
So hi.
Hi. Where were we?
Where were we? I was making a very bad joke about vomiting on my garments.
Oh yeah,
That was the last time, but the context is gone, and I don't remember what the joke was in the first place, so I'm just going to reference it, and then we're going to laugh together and call it good. Those days.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a call to nowhere.
You're welcome.
So let's get into this. First, let's talk about your show, because your show is cool.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I really, really do. There's a little part in me that does the squeeing noise, which I'll spare you. But at the same token, there's the other part of me that constantly feels ashamed at the things that I do, which I blame some Catholic background for. But that's different, and so nothing's good enough. So combinations, is that emotion, if that makes sense?
Yep, I certainly get it when someone tells me my show is good. So.
Well, I like your show, so take that. Ha! Ha! Yeah. Ha!
A little bit of shame revenge there. Thanks.
Welcome.
Anyway, so let's talk about the name. Why Too Deep, Too Fast?
The general gist of it is that I don't like fluffy conversations. They bother me a lot, and I've been that way my whole life. And, you know, I'd go to a party when I was a young buck and drinking was brand new to me. And people are like, oh, hey, we're going to do drinks and eat the fruit and stuff. And I'm like, you know, the reason why your relationships fail is because of your abuse as a child, and everything that you've tried to reach out is that you sabotage your relationships because you look for something that's unattainable. And then they go off crying, even though they were attempting to make moves on me to have the sexy time. And that's how that went down. So I've been like this my whole life.
And that's why it's called Too Deep, Too Fast, folks.
You're welcome. We're just diving into the deep end of this particular kiddie pool, and it's filled with Jell-O, and the Jell-O is chloroform. Yes. So I'm not sure how that would work, but just fall asleep fast. I don't know. The analogy fell apart.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fail out of that one. Anyway, but that's basically the show. And not all jokes about chloroforming with Jell-O inside of a tub. Oh, boy. Wow, that got out of hand. The point of it was is that the idea is I don't like the kind of fluffier parts of the conversation. Yes, you can have a good joke. Yes, you can have talk about the weather for some reason. But like stuff like that, it just eats away at my brain. And I'm sitting there the entire time like, okay, what's the part where we get to know each other enough that I can ask you about your beliefs in the afterlife and whether or not you think that when your dog dies, it can go to hell?
Yeah.
When does this happen in our relationship? Is it now? No, it's not now. Wait, he just said something. What was he saying? Shit. No, well, there goes that idea. That's pretty much me. So the show is essentially that, is that I remember I was growing up, I'd have these really deep, awesome conversations where it was like I was a debater, good old master debater, and we were done with this big tournament, and we got off the bus, and we all were old enough to drive ourselves home, and so we just decided to walk around our town, and it was about four or five of us, and we were out there for about 4 hours, 5 hours, something like that, until the dead of the middle of the night, and just talking, and we would talk about everything, and it was deep and it was solid, and we were trying to reason it the best that we could and understand each other, and it felt like magic. And that was a formative moment for me, and I always want to get that feeling back. And so that doesn't happen very often because human beings are steeped in tribalism and steeped in this rah-rah, we on the one side, you on the other, you're bad, I'm good, in-group, out-group bullshit shenaniganry. And so that means that having a nice, deep conversation is really hard to do until you get a show like this one or mine or someone else's, and you get some guy who's like, I'm going to argue with you because Jesus. And that's kind of okay, but what it turns into is not that. It's not that deep conversation because it turns into this battle and they're trying to win, and it's just the same stupid bullshit. And you can hear it. You can hear it in the way that they talk, that you can almost see the quotation lines from Fox News underneath things that they said. And you're like, you didn't come up with that by yourself. You got that from the news, and you're just saying that. This is the equivalent of, I saw this cool video on YouTube, let's watch it together. It's the same bullshit. Yeah. Like, it doesn't do anything. Not that I don't like sharing stuff on YouTube because I'm on the internet way too goddamn much. But the point of it is that it's not a real deep conversation. It's not intimate. It's not sharing of your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions, and they change. And I want that. I want that feeling. And so the only way I can get that feeling on a regular basis is with myself. So I kind of do this mental masturbation kind of thing, you know, and then boom, there you go. There's an episode.
There's an episode. And that this is exactly why I love listening to your show, because somehow you've managed to get inside my head and figure out what I wanted to say in a way far better than I ever could. I don't get it.
Excuse me. That's because I have a small little microchip that I implanted into the rest of the podcasting community. And what you don't realize is that when you bought that subscription to Zencaster, they just kind of put it in. So okay. You're welcome. that's how that works.
Yeah. So what brought that idea on was the first time I ever heard you was on the Podunk Polymath podcast. When you
really?
Did, yeah. I'd heard your commercials, like, oh, I really need to check that show out. And then I heard you on the show. I think it was on Podunk Polymath. Sounds right. And you were talking about your ADHD.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, I so identify with this guy. He's saying everything I've wanted to say. It was really interesting. That's not quite the word.
Right.
But yeah.
I was trying to play the show that it was on. Yeah,
It was a few months ago.
Okay. It's been a while. That's what I was thinking. It's like, it's been a while. And I have very bad short-term memory. So
yeah,
I'm going to chalk that one up too. I just agree with you.
Yeah. But yeah, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy's show all the time, and I've been hooked ever since. And like I said, you're kind of like my Jiminy Cricket. You're right there. I don't know what it is.
I'm your Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
Awesome. I can't sing, so you know that one already. I do have a habit when no one's listening to sing to myself constantly and also to my children. And I think they hate me, but that's okay. So, yeah, once upon a time, I'll do a little song and dance for you later on. But that's an interesting input. You know, it's with the show that I do, like every now and then I'll get these little spurts of people talking to me. And then after that, dead silence.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's still a brand new show. I've only been doing this for, a year.
Yeah.
Damn. Like, it's been a year. It's been a year since I started this up. And the first few episodes are awful. God, they were bad. And I refuse to remove them because I need people to know how bad I am, getting back to that Catholic upbringing. I think that I'll get just a couple of these like, oh, I love the show and I like the ideas. And here's a couple things I want you to think about. And they're like, ooh, that's tasty. And then I'll roll around with it for a while and then there's nothing. Like, I was talking to my other patron, because I only got two, one, yourself, and then also a good buddy named Jeff, and he sent me about the ones who walk away from Omelas, and it was, I've never heard of the story before, and it's this super awesome short story that I would encourage everyone to listen to, an audio recording of it. I think there's something on YouTube, but you can just read it. It's only like 9 pages long, but it's beautiful, and the metaphors in there are complex and wondrous and intense and fast, and it's great. It's perfect. And I got to do like a 3-parter with that idea to try to really get to all the parts that I wanted to get to. And it was great. And then after that, nothing for like 3-4 months of no contact at all. And then talk to somebody else. And then, you know, it just seems to be this on and off and getting some input where it's actually listening to something in particular and being able to cite to it is very useful. And I appreciate that.
Yeah,
it was a long thank you. If I want to wrap that up, it's a long thank you. Thank you, appreciate it. Yeah. So why? Here's a question.
Okay.
And I want to ask from my perspective of doing this thing. I do this because I'm dead inside. So why do you listen? Like, why does that the thing that I'm saying and the ways that I say it and getting rid of all the audio quality or the music that I try to put it in so you can't hear the fan in the background.
Right.
You know, why, what really gets to you? Like, I don't understand it. I really don't.
And this is a thing I think all podcasters deal with is like, why do you listen to my show? Right. That's really the question.
Yeah.
So the reason I like your show is because it feels like I'm the one talking, right? You seem to hit almost exactly what I'm thinking, most of the time, right?
Okay.
So it gives me an outlet that's not me, but it's saying what I want to say.
Huh.
And it's really, that's what struck me so strangely is that, you know, whenever I listen to your show, I'm like, yeah, that makes so much perfect sense. He said it so much better than I would have, and that's kind of what I wanted to say.
Huh. That's an interesting thought. Like, as almost like a journal that you didn't write, but that's yours.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it was really weird the first couple times, and then I got, okay, this is kind of cool. It's like some weird connection.
That's interesting. You know, I wonder how, and again, maybe as a podcaster, it makes you wonder that whatever feedback that you get, you always, well, at least I do, I always have this like overlay on when people are talking to me about whatever it is. It doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, that it's the idea that under what influence is this thought process? How global is the idea? How specific is the idea? And so I wonder, you know, if that's a common thing that happens with a lot of other people's podcasts. You know, like when I listen to yours, the thing that I like the most about it is I like your relationship. I like hearing that part of it, and it makes me feel good that there are people out there that like to tease and roll with ideas, and there's still that tension where it doesn't quite always, you're not always simpatico, and then navigating through thoughts and being passionate about stuff that really, you know, it's one of those things that this is something you should be passionate about. It's something that is a problem, like the original motto project and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's right. And then next thing you know, you sent me that Facebook thing about how they allowed it here in Utah. And then when I went to re-up my registration at the DMV, I saw that you had the three choices of license plates. One of them was the Utah skiing thing. The other one was the delicate arch. And the other one was In God We Trust. And I was right. Just like, damn you. Why did you make me care about this? I would have not been so pissed. But a few months ago. And then I'm just sitting there seething like, oh, and I start seeing it all over the place. And, you know, we've got sheriffs that have little decals because it's their own personal vehicle that they're using for work.
Right.
Poor county. But it's one of those things that I'm just sitting there thinking about it. And that's nice to see. It feels like I get to sit inside of my friend's living room.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Again, you hit it. It's weird. I don't know. Once you say it, it's like, oh, that's what I was wanting to think. Right?
All right. So I've got a gift of gab when it comes to the forms of metaphors. Okay. That's what I'm, oh man, gosh. Sometime, again, that whole like Catholic upbringing background thing where there's always that self-doubt that you have. And that's probably why a lot of Catholics turn into atheists. I'm just going to throw that out there. Especially those that actually have to go to school for it. I didn't, but I'm just saying. But there's that overlay of like doubting all the things that feel good. It reminds me of that Family Guy joke where you've got trying to potty train the one little character baby thing. And we got everybody poops, or everybody poops but you, which is less popular. Or, oh, we're Catholic. So, oh, you're a naughty, naughty boy, and that's concentrated evil coming out the back of you. Yeah, that's ours. You know, I was just cracked up laughing. And my dad, who comes from that Catholic background, and they don't really do that stuff anymore anyway, it was laughing too. And then it was just that, like, gotcha. Makes sense now. There's just that constant sense of guilt all the time. So when people are describing stuff, there's that overlay for me of trying to figure out the pieces. So you said that, and I appreciate it, but what I heard was entirely fabricated on my own was that it's the way that I use metaphors to explain stuff that allows people to connect it in a way that they wish they could have thought of that metaphor themselves.
Correct.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. And that's a rough generalization of it. So we'll let you go with that.
Okay. All right. Now I feel really not great. So yay.
Mission accomplished.
I made myself feel bad. Woohoo. Woohoo. Now what?
That was my next question. What else you want now?
I would like a taco, a bowl of ice cream, and other things that pregnant women get to eat that men can't without feeling like they're going to die of diabetes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I don't really have that guilt issue. I just had tacos, and I'll probably have ice cream here shortly.
Did you put pickles in it?
No. I'm not a huge fan of pickles.
Oh, well, then you're not doing it right.
I know, obviously.
And peanut butter. Pickles and peanut butter. Mm. That was a thing. Yeah.
Oh.
Tastes like cotton candy and marshmallows. I don't know why. I think I had a stroke once, and maybe that's why things taste the way they do. I'll explain if you...
It's possible. Very possible. Yes.
No, seriously, I think I actually did have a stroke. I was hospitalized for a while, and I had aphasia. I wasn't able to talk. Oh. And person who used to be as a job was talking for a living because I used to do radio. It was terrifying to the umpteenth degree. I couldn't speak for about a day.
Oh wow.
And we're still not sure exactly what was going on. But yeah, so I might have had a stroke of some kind. Don't know.
Well, that's no fun at all.
Nope. That or a dissociative fugue, one of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so one of the things we like to do here on Secular Yakking, because we do a lot of movie quotes, is I like to ask my guest their favorite movie quote, because I think it the person's preferred movies tells a lot about their personal character. So, with that in mind, what is your favorite movie quote?
Well, I'm one of those people that it depends on the moment and the context that I'm dealing with. And so we were talking about this earlier because you wanted to prep me on it. So I had to go grab the quote. The thing is that I don't remember the quote specifically. So I'm kind of cheating. Again, Catholic guilt. But there's the movie is Artificial Intelligence, AI. I love that movie to the umpteenth degree. Yes, I know people didn't like it all that much because at the very end, they're like, oh, you can see the zippers on the suits of the robot people or whatever the heck they were. Because they didn't get that jump. And I think I had explained that to a couple people who went to, because it was high school at the time, I'm kind of young, and explained that to them. And it made it all better, except for they still were stupid and they sucked. So I'm going to leave that alone. But AI, that one is one of my favorites. And there are two that I like a lot. There's one from the one character, Gigolo Joe, talking to the little boy. And it kind of goes something like, let's see, she loves what you do for her, as my customers love what it is I do for them. But she does not love you. She cannot love you. You are neither flesh nor blood. You are not a dog, a cat, or a canary. You are designed and built specifically like the rest of us. And you are alone now only because they tired of you or replaced you with a younger model or were displeased with something you said or broke. They made us too smart, too quick, and too many. We are suffering for the mistakes they made because when the end comes, all that will be left is us. And that's why they hate us.
Wow.
Boom. That one. Yeah. That describes artificial intelligence in a lovely nutshell about that whole aspect. It's choice. And the other one is later on in the movie where things get weird and there's the one doctor guy or professor that's talking to the robot kid in the future, because that's exactly what happened, is that human society broke down and dissolved, but all that was left the robots, and they continue to evolve and grow. And it's one of them talking to him, and this is what he says. He says, until you were born, robots didn't dream. Robots didn't desire unless we told them what to want. Do you have any idea what a success story you become? You found a fairy tale, and inspired by love and fueled by desire, you set on a journey to make her real. The most remarkable of all, no one taught you how. We actually lost you for a while. But when you were found again, we didn't make our presence known because our test was a simple one. Where would you self-motivated reasoning take you to the logical conclusion that Blue Fairy is a part of the great human flaw to wish for things that don't exist, or to the greatest single human gift, the ability to chase down our dreams? And that is something no machine has ever done before you.
Man. Yeah. Yeah,
I like that one, too, because, you know, it gets to that whole sense, of course, being atheist and part of the spacious community that is skeptic, Pastafarian, atheist, anti-theist, secular, humanist, and Satanist. But as a spacious community, you know, that's something that we look at as a liability, that the human flaw is that we wish for things that don't exist.
Right.
But that also is the other aspect that I'd like to lean on more, which is that it also is part of our creativity, that the thing that doesn't exist is that recipe that you made today, that piece of artwork that you created, that book, that story, that podcast, that video game, or whatever it is that you're making. That's something that doesn't exist, and you are believing it and thinking it into reality through action. Which I think is one of the biggest disconnects between religious folks and us, is that they say, oh, I pray and I wish for it to happen, and then do nothing. in order for that to come about. Or worse, is that they do stuff to make that come about, but then attribute the success of their actions to some sort of higher deity and never allow themselves the joy and the basically the success of their actions. You know, I have a cousin who is actually a very good poet, and she writes really beautiful things, and she can actually paint a bit, and she does really well. And every time that I talk to her about it, she always says that it comes from a higher power and not from her, that she couldn't do something like this. And it has to do with that sense of that guilt that we can't, and Catholics again, and all of that stuff that really holds that person back. Because if you could just remove that crazy part of the situation where she realizes how good she actually is, maybe she would get better. Maybe she would be able to think about it in a critical way and be able to expand on her gift. And that's what that quote tells me. That's what it says to me. So I don't know. Anyway, that's how I work, guys and ladies. It's just, it goes from that thing and then jumps off into the series of hopscotch thoughts until I bring it back to the thing where I was in the first place. And hopefully you're still with me by the time that happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It was very enlightening to your bit of your inner psyche there. So
there you go.
So that's why I used that as a way to get to know people.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense, especially when they ramble as I do.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Which I do enjoy. So.
Okay. Well, good. 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 There was actually one that I thought of. Well, actually, there's two that I wanted to share with you. So maybe we'll do this off the main recording. But it's one of my favorite poems. There's two of my favorite poems that I've run into because I do like poetry. Yeah. In college, I was that douchebag sitting out there in the park reading books, trying to get the pretty ladies to look at me. That was me. Although at the time I married my sweet high school sweetheart, so it was the same girl that I was trying to impress with poetry. So that makes it less douchebaggy.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was something I'd like to share maybe.
Yeah, maybe we will.
Okay. Maybe. Depends on how we're doing for time. I've got 25 minutes on the marker and counting.
Yeah.
So
let's get your contact information out there. How can people get a hold of you or go listen to your show? What's the best way to find you?
All right. Well, the best way to find me is TDTFpod. Now, that represents for Too Deep Too Fast, but I haven't written Too Deep Too Fast pretty much anywhere. I think maybe once somewhere along an older bio. Anyway, TDTFpod is the place to find me. I am on SoundCloud and Stitcher and Tuned In and iTunes in Skeptic Lab. Skeptic Lab, by the way, is a atheist and spashes community based lists of podcasts, art, music, and stuff that you can find all sorts of amazing and awesome stuff. And the person who runs it is very nice. I like him a lot. He's a decent guy. He got to my stuff quickly and just let me jump in, even though I just barely started. And he was one of the reasons why my listenership started to grow. So I'd like to thank him. And check out Skeptic Lab. And that's where one of the big things is you can find, and a lot of other good stuff. Again, TDTF Pod. If you'd like to send me a question so I can answer your question in the manner that I do, it's tdtfpod@gmail.com. And Twitter, it's tdtfpod @tdtfpod. So just, it's all tdtfpod. I try to make that as uniform as possible. That's why I went with the acronym that made no sense to anyone else. So tdtfpod, folks, that's my thing.
Cool. Well, I've got to say this has been most enjoyable.
Well, good. I hope so. It's a measuring stick, I think, of enjoyability. If we have an interview and you're like, well, thanks, bye. I'm like, oh, damn it. I messed up. Oh, God. That I don't believe in. And then, you know, go and cry to myself. But if you actually liked it and laughed and stuff, that's good. That's
yeah.
Good. That's good.
I had a great time. Really enjoyed this interview. And I think we might have you on again sometime.
All right. I'm sure I've got plenty of other random shit to throw at you, too.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Doo-doo-doo. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that yakking session.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah. I had
like I said, I had a lot of fun on it.
Yeah.
Jonathan's a really smart guy. He tends to go off on some tangents, though, but that's the nature of his show.
That's what it's a yakking session. Say whatever.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Exactly.
Anyway, that being said, that's all the yakking I got for you this week.
That is definitely all I have. I got to go take some meds.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye! Bye.